Welcome to the NSFW podcast right here on Balls Up. If you're listening on the podcast app or Spotify, make sure you rate us 5 stars and leave a review. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button right now and leave a comment saying whether you like it, what you don't like and what you would change. Today, we've got Mr. Corporate himself in the building, Dave Jackson, straight off of a seminar. Still got the pin on look. He looked as well. Sav Berry's here too, and so is Dave Horner. We're here to tell you about our weeks and talk about some news stories and a load of other nonsense. Shall we kick it off, gentlemen?
Yes.
Dave Jackson, where have you been for 2.5 weeks?
I've just been about. I've been doing a bit of wedding planning.
J-Lo vibes.
I've gone absolutely mental from...
What do you mean? I just got that. Wedding planner.
So, like, originally my wedding was going to be next July, which is going to be a good, you know, 15 months to plan everything from when I originally kind of got engaged. Now it's going to be end of September.
Madness.
Which gives me about 8 weeks. Well, less than that now.
Yeah.
Mad to get the whole thing done. So that's basically what I've been doing.
This is like one of them wedding shows, isn't it? You know, like the 51st dates kind of ones.
Don't tell the bride.
Don't tell about or ready, steady wedding.
Are you
coming soon to Bravo?
No, it's good, man. It's good. I think it's much better to just like just go and have it. I think it's I think it's so like cool that like we're gonna get engaged and then married all in the same year. There's no like long engagement. I think we're getting engaged or we got engaged and want to be married for the right reasons rather than the
divorce by the end of the year as well.
So like basically,
trying to all three.
Couldn't get it through the get it through the
Yeah. So there's no shotgun in place whatsoever. You know what I mean? This is all of our free will and everything, so it's lovely. Love.
This is fun.
Love.
We're looking forward to the stag do, aren't we, David?
Yes, mate. Yeah. 7th of September.
Where's it going to be?
No,
where's it going to be?
Where are we going
to In fact, I might actually reach out to like WKD or someone to see if they want to sponsor the stag do.
Sponsor the stag?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, 7th of September, Leeds.
Leeds. So if you're in Leeds, come down.
Come
and staggers. Did you just fart?
No, I didn't.
Sure.
Yeah, 100%. Watch the camera back. There's absolutely no chance of fire there.
Right, cool.
So what corporate events have you been talking at recently? How many TVs you sell?
TVs?
Yeah, you just sell a TV salesman today, I think.
That's harsh, that is, isn't it?
Good one, isn't it?
All right, carry on. Well, how many corporate events have you done this week?
I haven't actually, mate.
No corporate events?
I haven't done any corporate
events. No corporate speaking? How many surveys you filled out?
There's definitely a few surveys.
He's emailed us since been our survey.
You get that survey done.
What else? Yeah, just you know, Sky DV. What was it? What was it called?
The summit.
The summit.
We had our company summit last week.
Yeah, so I had to speak at that.
What a day it was.
Yeah. That was wicked. That was.
Hi, I'm Joe Nilsson. Hi, I'm the lad Mogadam. Just introducing themselves to the company they work for.
Yeah. See, that bit was actually a bit mental. Like, if they would have given some advice, that would have been good. But it was basically what everyone already knew. There wasn't much point
in front of
it.
All the people you worked with.
Yeah.
How did you end up working here?
Well, I thought Zach did very well.
Zach was my favourite bit in that. He said, this is Joe Nilsson. This is Milad Mogadam. This is Sunida.
Didn't even try.
Couldn't pronounce quality it.
Stuff.
Sam, what have you been up to?
Just more editing, bro. Just more editing. Potentially, could be having a new member of the Balls Up Nation coming in to work for us.
Oh.
So, keep your eyes peeled. Depending. We'll see how it goes.
50-50, yeah.
But yeah, been doing bits and bobs.
Like, say soon, it takes about 6 months to get
that's
him
true,
in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'll tell you. So, yeah, I've just been busy cutting stuff and editing stuff and doing stuff like that. Boom. That's what I've been doing.
Dave Horner, you've been in Amsterdam buying Pata t-shirts for yourself and for me as well.
And you, I called you up, didn't I, when I was in there?
Yeah, respect that.
Woke him up. You were very hungover inside.
Oh, so hungover, man. I actually couldn't even see when you first rang me. I was considering I'd been this call.
He answered it, you went, you all right, mate? I went, you all right? He went, no, not really. I went, I'm in Pata. Do you want anything while I'm here? And he went, let me go on the website. Put the phone down, and then he just texts me going, they got this. I was like, no, they haven't got any of that, but I'll give you a job.
Yeah, you seen him, Bab?
I did. I went to Amsterdam for the weekend, me, my brother, and my mate Adam, to celebrate my brother turning 30. Shout out to Joe. And we had a weekend in Amsterdam, and John Bab came and spent it with us. Because the big man, the owl, is living out there.
Smoking a bit of doob, was he?
A bit of doob. Bab, as far as I saw, no.
Sticking to the mushrooms.
He came and met us later on. But Sing to the Mushrooms, yeah.
Yeah.
He looks so thin. Whenever I look at Bab now, on your Instagram on the weekend, he was mad thin.
Withering away, he is.
What's he eating out there? I showed him that you said that. He's insistent that he's not. But he's not even having takeaways.
Yeah, that means
Domino's,
he's not.
Domino's won't deliver to where he lives in Amsterdam.
That's hilarious.
Where does he live in Amsterdam? Red Light District. You can find him in house number 3, and he charges about £15 a minute.
It's a place called Vase.
A minute, I think. Yeah. Bab's an absolute goer, mate.
Weird place, though. Bab's an absolute goer. Yeah. It's a weird place. We went and looked at the Red Light District just because it's fascinating. But it's blokes just bowling in, like straight off the street, no question, no qualms, just straight in for it. And as we walk along, Bab said to me, weirdest one, he says, watch when a bloke comes out. And they just try and like blend in. Crowd again, as if we all know what you've just done, just been getting your end away.
Creepy,
yeah.
Bugs,
and you go and
man.
Do that.
Creepy.
But yeah, good weekend, nice place, and then back to the old grind.
Back to the grind.
But I've got a wedding this weekend. I'm a groomsman.
Man, I've got a lot of weddings.
Yeah, I've got a wedding on Friday.
I've actually had 4 weddings and a funeral this year. How weird.
That's
that?
Mad.
Richard Curtis.
Very weird. I don't know what that actually is referenced to. Is it a film or something?
It's a film by Richard Curtis, hence the
I've got a few weddings coming up as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
My cousin Ian's getting married and my cousin Kane.
My cousin Ian? I don't think that was a film.
What, cousin Ian? Yeah. Maybe. Ian Smichael. What name?
Smichael.
What name?
Smichael, like Casper.
Smichael. S-M-I-K-L-E.
Oh my God.
Smichael. Schmiger.
Kane Medley. And Kane Medley. Getting married this year.
Kane Medley's a
what
great
a name,
name.
Isn't it? Kane
is
Medley.
A great name.
Very nice.
So
though.
Shout out to cousins.
So here's an update on all the weddings. Yeah. Hang on to. Dave's.
I haven't really done much, thanks for asking. You know.
Sorry, we didn't get around to you, did we? What have you been up to, Joe?
How rude was that?
Greg is my mate who's getting married. He dropped his names, I didn't drop one, so there you go. Shout out, Greg.
I have not been doing too much. Went out a couple of times on the weekend, went out Friday night. Then everybody came back to my house. Then, I tell you what, went out Friday night and all of the lads came back to my house. And
the
it was
FD
like,
boys?
Yeah. And we was just like chilling out and whatever. And we was watching at like 2 in the morning, watching Gordon Ramsay's new show. I don't know if you've seen it. It's basically like Hell's Kitchen, but 24 hours to turn a kitchen around. Right. So he goes into a restaurant and he sits there in a disguise, and it's like the cheapest disguise you've ever seen. He sits there and he tries the food or whatever. And then he goes out, he takes it off, and he's like, this place is an absolute disgrace. You've got 24 hours to turn it around. Takes it outside. There's like a 100-foot truck film crew, so they obviously know what's going on. There was one of the best bits of TV I've ever seen involving Gordon Ramsay. He's like going around, he's like prodding in the kitchen. He's like, oh, filthy, filthy, filthy. And he gets to a toaster, he tips upside down, and a mouse comes out.
No.
No way.
Yeah, I swear that.
Oh, my
He's literally
God.
Like, it's disgusting. There's like videos, there's like rats everywhere, and he tips upside down, and a mouse falls out. And it's the most placed mouse ever. Like, you can definitely tell the production. Not a single bit of char on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no burnage. Yeah. Rolls out. It's, like, freshly killed. Just flops out. And Ramsay goes, oh, fuck. He's, like, loses his head. It's disgusting. But it was absolutely hilarious when we was a bit, like, messed up. It was quality.
What's the name of the show?
I think it's called Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours or something like that. Okay. Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours. Then went out Saturday night and it went to see Marlon Hofstadt.
Which sounds very,
very
good.
Very good DJ set.
Very
surprisingly good.
Good.
I was not expecting anything, but DJ set. Marlon Hofstadt. He did that song. It's like, shake that baby, drive me crazy. That one.
Don't know
remember that?
That?
Nah, fair play.
He was with Marlon Haywood.
Jaw swinging.
From West Ham.
Jaw was not swinging, watch yourself. but yeah, it was a quality night. Like at 5 a.m. it was just me and Jalab left. Everybody else
of course it was.
And it was, yeah, it was awesome.
You steal any cutouts this time?
No, we didn't.
Stragglers.
Last time we went to Brixton Jam and it went to like a Kanye and Kim night. And
Kanye and Kim.
Don't ask me, it was very odd. Bizarre night. It's basically like a hip hop night.
Yeah.
And Joe and Zach Jalab, the king and like fucking prince.
No, there was like ten of us. There was like 10 of us. It was pretty funny.
Joe and Jalab at a hip hop night.
And it wasn't our choice there, but effectively it was like 2 life size cutouts of Kanye West and Kim Kardashian either side of the DJ on the stage.
Kanye.
And it got to like 3 in the morning. You know when you're like really battered? Like I was battered, and I was like eyeing this Kim Kardashian and this Kanye West cutout out from afar, and like they're right next to the DJ, probably about 6 foot back on the stage. I was thinking, I am leaving with one of those cutouts, like guaranteed. And there's like loads of people, everybody was eyeing it one up, and everybody's like a bit steaming. You could see people like, oh my god, trying to steal a cardboard cutout. And I just thought, oh fuck this, I'm going for it. It's like 3 foot, what's the worst thing? I'm gonna get chucked out. So I literally jumped on the stage, bang, ran, snatched the Kanye West cutout. Was it Kim? No, it was Kim, I think. Can't remember which one of the cutouts it was. Snatched it. Bouncer has clocked me from like probably 10, 15 foot away. I thought, fuck, I'm going to have to like distribute. So I've like looked in the crowd. I've seen Jalal gone, get out! Chucked in this cardboard cutout of Kim. And he's like, caught it and like straight to the floor like this. Like yeah. so you can't see it. Like,
fair drag play.
Fair play, Zach. Bouncer's like caught like, between a rock and a hard place. Does he like target me or does he go to rescue the Kim Kardashian cow?
Does he rescue Kim?
He rescued Kim. Straight into the crowd, spots Jalab. Jalab's easy to spot. Once Jalab had been seen catching it,
it's the barnet. It
stands out like a sore thumb and he's trying to be casual, walking through the crowd away from the DJ. Bouncer just bang, collars him, smacks him around the back of the head, bang, takes him down. Kim Kardashian cut out, ripped out of his hand. Bouncer just snaps the Kim Kardashian cut out in half.
What's the frozen? You're gonna break it. What's the point?
Yeah, no.
He didn't throw Jalab out. He's like, do you want to get chucked out? And Jalab was like,
nah, not really.
If you're gonna break the cut out, let him have it.
Yeah, it was joking.
So hold on, did you at least get chucked out?
Nah. By the time he got Jalab, I was long gone, mate. I was all over the place by that stage.
Saw Jalab straight out in the river.
Yeah,
he just
yeah. Once that happened, there was we weren't finding me again. He wouldn't see me for the rest of the night. I could have been everywhere. But
God.
Yeah, that's pretty funny to be fair. Anyway, let's get on to the news stories then. Who's coming up first? Savile Barry, what are you looking at?
We can do me first.
Looking like
you
Action
want.
Man today.
Blackshin Man, as he's called me earlier.
I haven't.
Blackshin Man.
Why are you sailing me on the river?
That's a good one. I don't mind that. It's decent. Blackshin Man, wicked.
G.I. Jamal.
G.I. Jamal. That's better. G.I. Jamal.
So, wow. And casual. What stage is it racist?
Just casual.
And what stage is it?
Just casual.
G.I. Jamal.
What would the show of G.I. Jamal be?
G.I. Jermaine.
G.I. Jermaine.
Anyway, so my story is not really a story this week per se. It was off the back of me seeing what the lottery was, right? It was like 36
what,
million
have you got
or
the numbers?
Something like that. Yeah. 36 million or something for the Euro lottery or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, right, obviously not the same amount of money, but would you rather win 50 grand or have a friend win 500 grand?
Who's the friend?
Well, this is the question, isn't it? So let's say it's between us lot, right? If I was winning 50, knowing that he would have won the 500.
Who's he? Me?
You, yeah.
Joe.
If I knew you would win the 500, but I would win the 50, yeah. I'm taking the 50.
You are so selfish.
Because
I would give you your 50
No, you
back.
Wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
You chat such
I know you
rubbish,
wouldn't. I know you wouldn't. You're slime.
What are you talking
he's
about,
giving
bro?
You 50,
if it was you,
mate.
Yeah,
you
exactly,
mad?
Yeah.
I'll give you your money
He's
back.
Not even giving you something extra.
That's what I'm saying.
He's not got anything, otherwise he's getting zero. What's he want? Does he want some money
I'm
or not?
Getting 50.
He's giving you 500.
He hasn't.
In sacrifice for his 50. So yeah. You giving him 50 means why should he give you the extra anyway? He might as well just take the 50. You have to give him an incentive, don't you?
No, because then he's being kind and I'm getting money too.
Whereas if it was Dave Warner and I knew Dave was getting a 500.
I'm getting a fiver.
Then he's getting the 500, isn't he?
Oh, get See? Over yourself. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Listen, you didn't want to take me on a desert island, did you?
No, I didn't want to take you on a desert island because you can't swim, bro.
I can. I can swim to save my life.
Yeah, that's a joke, mate.
Shout out Eric the Eel.
You can go up and down, bro.
Do you know the thing is, though, if you know, if you can't swim, it's like, you've won 500 grand. The first thing I do is go, well, let's go on this burger then.
Yeah,
we just can't do exactly what there we do anyway.
Shout out. I saw Georgia Smith in Honest Burger.
Yeah?
Yeah,
who's
yeah.
Georgia Smith?
She's
Georgia
beautiful.
Smith. You probably wouldn't
she's
know
her
music. But she's a singer.
I can't believe you would take the 50. I think that's well selfish. I would 100% give the 500 to all of you boys.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%.
But I don't know your temperament. What are you going to do with that? Maybe you just spunk the whole 500 on like a Shark Tank.
You actually do know my temperament.
That's the type
you
of thing you do.
You know me better than that, to say that. I think you're being an idiot.
It just went like that, Tim, and he went...
I think you're being an idiot. Like, Jackson, who would you do? What would you do, 50 or 500?
I think it'd always be the 500.
To the mate, yeah?
Yeah, to the mate, always.
Is there anyone who wouldn't?
I'll be honest, even if it was an acquaintance, I think I'd...
Yeah?
You're
okay,
a good man.
So what about this one?
But Jackson's corporate, Dave. He's peed up already.
Exactly.
He's peed up already.
You get me?
That wedding's paid for.
He's papered.
All right, so what about this? The person that takes the 500 cannot give you any money back.
Do you know what? I think what great karma.
Do you actually? Oh, balls to that. I'd take a 50 if that is the case.
Yeah.
No way. If I'm not getting anything in return, why would I not take the 50?
I would have to take the 50.
Here's a question on it.
I would have to.
Here's a question on it.
Yeah.
If I take the 50, does the other person know that I stopped them getting 500 grand?
No.
Well, then I'll take the 50.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take the 50 yeah. for sure.
Because I feel like if someone knew that for the sake of your 50, you've taken the extra 450 out of their pocket, then that will affect you later in your life. Whereas if they don't,
one person, you might be able to bin that friend off.
Yeah, maybe. But I feel like if they would know at least, then it would say, it's not so much karma, but it's like do good things with people when you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's karma then as giving someone 500 grand, mate. That's just taking a piss.
Yeah.
Big dick karma.
But how about this? Do you believe in karma?
Whatever you call it, karma, juju, whatever, right? You know,
juju.
Like kind of like whatever you put into the universe or whatever. Like I hand on heart believe if you do good things happen to you. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
But do you think that's because of some weird thing in the universe, or do you think that's just because if you're nice to someone, they're more likely to be nicer to you?
Well, it all kind of goes hand in hand.
Do you think that if you were to save someone, then something else later in like 2 months, you might like get £100 prize? Like that's real karma. Like, are you just talking about cause and effect, or are you actually talking about karma?
Okay, so for example, anytime I leave a church, whatever the highest denomination of money I have on my pocket, I will always put it in the box, right? Mm-hmm. Always. So if I walk in with a £20 note, even though I've got like a fiver, I always have to put the £20 in, right? So just same as if I ever see someone with the buckets, if I have money on them, I'll put my hand and put it in, right? And it's so mental how like so many times when I've actually needed money, It's karma. It's definitely karma.
So that's actual karma, like unconnected events being like connected via some
those local priests has somehow made sure that the cash point near the church.
Yeah, it's always there.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, that's actual karma. Yeah. For me, I agree with like the cause and effect, but I don't think that if I do something that's negative, let's say I poured a pint over Horner's head now, but in 2 weeks or a month's time, something negative is going to happen to me.
I think that's because you wouldn't find that negative.
Nah, maybe.
If you poured a pint over my head, you wouldn't think that was a bad thing, would you? You'd think that was a great moment.
Yeah, maybe, but I just don't think that, like, in my head, there's that much of me. Like, I kind of, a little bit, but I wouldn't stop myself doing something because I'm worried about it happening.
My thing's always been, out of all those, like, lessons or whatever, The simple one for me, it's not so much karma, but it's just treat people how you would want to be treated. And it's not in a hope of it coming back at some point. It's more just so then every night when you go to bed or at the end of your life, if I can look back and know that I stood by my morals, whether it paid back to me or not, I'm at peace, I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, I just see life as peaks and troughs, just in general. Sometimes you can do something.
Sorry.
Go on.
You can do a box of chocolates.
No. Peaks and troughs sound a lot like David Brent then. That's me saying as well. Sorry. That's right, though.
Look, Pete, it's for me, it just feels as if sometimes, no matter how good you are to other people, shit just happens to you.
Yeah.
Right? There'll be times when, everything is going well. Like, things are perfect. Everything's decent. And then in other months, it's like, wow, this was a terrible month. Like, things just kept hitting me. And, like, everyone's had that year in their life where they're like, wow, this was a terrible year for me. Mm. Like, I'm going to bounce back next year and blah, blah, blah. New Year's Revolution and all that. New Year's Revolution.
I think it also comes back to what you were saying. It's like, at the end of each day, each year, whatever, as long as you can look yourself in the mirror and go, you did it the right way, then I think it does start to balance.
I think that's what it comes back to. I think it was weird. Me and you, I can't remember what it was that was the point. But a couple month or two ago, we was talking about something. Something had gone wrong with a video or with whatever it was. And we both just looked at each other and went, it was all too settled.
Yeah,
everything
was
too right for like 2 or 3 weeks.
There's a balance.
Nothing had gone wrong. Mm.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, okay, something was bound to happen somewhere. It was too set.
Yeah. It happens, doesn't it? It happens. I think the universe balances itself out. If everything was perfect all the time, then it wouldn't be perfect. It would just be normal, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So you've got to have the range to appreciate the sun, don't you?
Do you know what philosopher said that?
Dolly Parton.
If you want the rain,
we know the rain.
What's the next story?
It's you, isn't it?
Is it me? Mine's a quick one. I saw earlier really today there's like new updates coming out for Fortnite.
Yeah.
Have you played
it? Not talking about that, are we?
I'm not a player of Fortnite, but no. I just thought it got me thinking. Always always one with the podcast where I try and get a discussion point off a story.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you can put yourself in any video game ever and be any video game character.
Yeah.
Who are you going to be?
I know.
Okay.
I'm in Red Dead. 100%.
It's a good shout.
Mate, that is the worst quality of life.
That's a fair point.
He what has are you talking the worst about? Quality of life, bro.
Like, I'm not talking about being John Marston. I'm talking about being Savile Berry in Red Dead.
Sorry.
Then, man, I'm not ready.
He said you've got to be a character from one.
Yeah, I thought you said you could put yourself in any game.
No, you'd be the character. Afterwards.
But even if you were then, the West,
I don't want to be John Marston.
Back
dead.
In the day, it was the worst quality of life.
Well, yeah,
when
no, I wouldn't want to be.
Set?
I don't know where.
It's like 1800s. And sorry, no, 19. It's like 1904 or something. It's like right. just
yeah,
the turn
like 18.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Red Dead's a cowboy game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Sav wants to put himself Sav into Barry a cowboy thing.
That's wavy. Can you imagine? Turn up looking like Brother Sav.
That's you get me. That was the worst quality of life back then as well, bro. Like,
I know.
Everyone had gangrene. Everybody was rotting. Like, people didn't gangrene. Bath properly. There was loads of STDs. Like,
yeah.
What
well, you
are you
talking
about,
just started washing your feet, didn't you?
What are you talking about? Are you mad? I don't know, man. This is a really hard question.
Good.
It's a properly hard question. I would potentially go for something like...
It's not so much quality of life. It's like whose story in a game would you want
who's
to have
cool.
done? Because no game is just a great quality of life. I thought it'd be boring to
play.
All right,
I'm going
to
go for Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell and being the... What's his name?
Oh, Sam Fisher.
Sam Fisher.
Not
bad, man. Exactly. Sam Fisher.
Mine
kills who he wants, when he wants, with what he wants.
As soon as I pitched it, we'll go Dave first.
Ash Ketchum.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a good shout.
Ash
from Pokemon.
Yeah, Dave from Pokemon.
I like that.
It's a whole world as well. Just bopping about on
I do like that. He's not a fan of that. I don't know why. Why are you not a fan of that?
Right, I actually never played Pokemon. Like, I used to have a little figurines and shit, but that was just
Pokemon
me.
Red, mate.
I would only ever have a figurines to chuck them at trees and, like, chuck them in the water and stuff and then dive in.
Chuck you know when
you
was a,
you know,
so, it, honestly, so he literally gets one throw out of it. He doesn't even go to the
No, you know when you're
in dive in and get it. Yeah. Just that, all day.
Literally.
Just back in.
You think I'm joking? I would spend, on holiday, 6 hours throwing a
oh,
Pokemon
the pool,
in
the pool.
Dive
okay.
in, get a Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw it in the pool.
Okay, do you know what? The pool boy, fine. I'm intrigued by the
tree.
That was just me practicing my throwing. Like when I was younger, I just launched
throw,
that tree.
Throwing a tree.
Yeah, man.
How long were you there for?
I used to bury them all sorts. Like,
used
I don't
to
know.
Bury them? Like
I
a dog?
Know. Like, you know, like Action Man. I always, this is me, right? I was thinking about it earlier. When we were talking about Action Man earlier, for some reason I put this in my head. I always used to make Action Man lose.
Like, yeah, I did
have,
as well.
I used
did
to have
well.
A guy, like an evil version of Action Man or whatever, with like
a, explains
a
lot,
green,
though, didn't it?
And he had like a yellow gun with an orange thing that would like spurt like... Like acid or whatever, the equivalent of for kids, which is water. It was like, I always kill Action Man. I'd have his head off, I'd have him drowned, I'd have him dragged behind a car.
No one's diving in the same.
Dragged behind a car.
Dragged behind a car.
Yeah, you know, you'd like attach him to like an RC car and torture him. Well, I don't know, man. I'd like
to. So, hold on. So, you are basically Sid from Toy Story?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Sid.
Oh, God, that is you, though.
Yeah,
look
at
you. Oh, that's like risen.
I don't know, man. That for me, I think you can't beat. Sam Fisher, anyway.
One of my greatest ever creations for that was when me and my brother shared a room when we were growing up. It's my bedroom now, but it's basically just outside the window is where my mum's like washing line hooks.
Mm.
So it's from like the top floor of the house and it goes down to like a lamp post that's in the back of my garden. But it sort of goes downwards to it.
Yeah.
So we made, remember Kinex, not Lego, Kinex.
Yeah, Kinex.
We made this contraption out of Kinex, which was like a big square harness. But it had one of the wheels from Kinex at the top that had ridges either side. So you could hook the wheel onto the washing line. And then you'd have an Action Man in the harness.
That's good.
And you'd let him go. And the speed he'd get by the time he hit the end meant he would drop. He wouldn't hold on, it would drop out. So we had the car positioned right underneath
that's
it.
So
that he'd go all the way down, hit it, drop and fall into his car. And like it took us hours to get it. Like it's kind of thing where if you did it now, you'd film it. Like you'd be kids who were filming it to put up somewhere. But just hours trying to get it right for that. When you think you weren't filming it, got it right the one time for just me and him. You're going mental how good it was.
Like when I was younger though, like when I went on holiday and stuff, like I used to, my whole thing, probably between the ages of like
I don't know, 12 and 15, was I just used to make Jackass video every time I went on holiday, any time I went anywhere. We had like a, me and my best friend at the time, thing called Mini Jackass, and we would just do mental stuff. Like, mental stuff. Like, he'd drop a coconut off a fifth floor balcony, and I'd edit and stuff. And like, do you know what I mean?
Definitely, the other guy was definitely the brains behind all this.
No, it wasn't. Like,
you go down there and edit. Yeah.
He'd do stupid stuff as well. Like, who is it? His name was Alex Sparks.
That's a wavy name, you know.
Yeah, Alex Sparks. Now he's like massive, like gym hench. Huge. Oh yeah. Wouldn't even consider it now. I'd still be up for it if anybody wants to make Jackass with me. Let's do it.
No, I like the idea of him and Alex Sparks. Alex Sparks is huge now, and he's just smashing coconuts.
He did. We used to do like really stupid things, like they were just not particularly smart. My parents used to tell me off all the time for doing it, but I think like it came from like my dad was quite like that as well. Like when he was younger, he used to tell me this story, right, where him and his brother was is in the military. He was like in the SBS.
Is this the same uncle that turned up with a crossbow?
No, different uncle. So he was in the SBS. So his brother, once when he came back from, I think it was like junior Marines or junior TA or something like that, something like young army effectively, was like showing off. He was like, I've learned to dodge bullets. Absolute nonsense, obviously. So my dad was like, you have not, you're chatting rubbish. He was like, I have. My dad said, right, get in the garden then. So he went after, so my dad went up into the window.
Prove it.
My dad went up into the window and got an air rifle. And my uncle, so his brother, started at the end of the garden, was like rolling and jumping between like logs and trees and stuff like that. Rolled that one, like semi-trip, my dad shot him through the leg, like with the air rifle. And I was like thinking, whenever he used to tell that story, he was like, I would love to do that. Like, I don't know, man, like that's the sort of stuff. Like, my dad stabbed his brother as well with a knife through the shoulder. When he was like, had a knife. This is classic me. Yeah. His brother was going, you won't do it.
That is so you.
And he had a fishing knife. He went, you won't do it. So my dad just went, bah! Stuck in his shoulder.
On the subject of an air rifle, my dad's dad once was working nights. So he was sleeping during the day. He was sleeping in my dad's bedroom because it was at the back of the house. And the guy who lived next door came in pissed in the middle of the day. Was like being all loud, whatever, and walked out into his garden. And because he was so pissed, went to have a piss in standing in his garden. So my granddad couldn't sleep, so literally got up out of his bed, walked to his room. My dad just watched him as a kid. He just walked back in with his air rifle, straight out the window, and just shot the guy in the bollocks. Got the first time while he was having a piss.
So the fella
was just laying on the floor, and he went back to bed.
That's madness.
On games,
anyway, though, who are you going to be? Yeah,
mine's a toss up between, in terms of cool action life.
I've changed mine. We'll go and do
Solid one. Snake from Metal Gear.
Okay,
Solid.
Yeah, I like that.
I've never played Metal Gear Solid,
but it's also similar such a head mess.
Yeah,
me being head F, being safe, not safe. That is maybe why I'd go against it. So my other option is Tommy Vercetti from GTA Vice City, because it's the one that's set in the 80s, so the soundtrack is wicked.
Yeah,
just bowling about in Hawaiian shirts. You run a club with Danny Dyer,
Giacomo vibes,
because he does the voice of the fella in that.
Yeah,
you've got a huge mansion. The cars in that game were unbelievable.
Yeah,
like Vice City in terms of an open world, I mean, San Andreas was cool as well, but I think Vice City was the, in terms of the time of it, I'd love to be Tommy Vercetti.
I thought Vice City was average for the GTA
games.
It
was quality.
It was good.
San Andreas was wicked as well. Samuel Jackson bowling.
San Andreas was the proper.
I've changed my one from John Marston. I'd be Bayek of Siwa. Yeah? None of you like know who he is.
Who the hell is this?
Yeah? If you'd played Assassin's Creed Origins, then you would know. Bayek of Siwa was a bad man in this team.
What, is he an assassin? Yeah.
He's an assassin.
Well, in one sentence, what
sum
him up?
And he's an Egyptian assassin. That's all you need to know.
Wow.
And he controls an eagle. He controls it.
Yeah, but that he's done horrible things to get that control.
No, he hasn't.
So you've had to fuck an eagle.
Straight to the point.
Are you going straight to me with all the memories? Decent. Who's got the other... Dave, you haven't had a story?
Yeah, my story is coming out of France.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hang on. We're going live to Dave Jackson on the scene of Paris.
So,
from Le Mans.
My source is CNN. They are reporting that French schools from September are actually going to be banning smartphones, which I actually think is a very, very good thing.
They're banning the burqa as well, yeah?
That's gone.
Yeah, yeah. Right,
that's gone ages ago.
They're banning
smartphones.
Because if you, like...
Bad.
They can't be good for kids.
I think it's bad.
You think that's bad to ban them, or...?
I think it's bad to ban them.
Yeah?
Why?
Why?
The reason I think it's bad to banter about it now is I think that is old-fashioned thinking and smartphones are the future.
Okay, completely agree. But I believe children's brain, they haven't properly grown yet. And it's like more and more kids that have just grown up with iPads and iPhones and stuff like that, right? They don't have imaginations. Like the fact that you used to go out and tie like the Action Man to the back of the car, they won't be doing that. They'll be doing it on an online game, which isn't real.
They won't be torturing things in real life.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I've actually been reading a lot about this. Not about the CNN bollocks, but like just in terms of like what you should do with kids and like smartphones and like technology. Mm-hmm. And all of the senior people at your Googles and your Apples, they ban any kind of like smart technology from their kids. Because they know it stunts creativity, it stunts your imagination. And
I read something about one of the top guys doing that. I can't remember who it was, but it was like a Zuckerberg or someone, but I don't know if it was him. But
not Zuckerberg, he'd done have a penis, is he? He's just flat down there like an Action Man.
Brilliant. There's been so much Action Man references today. But something about one of them, doesn't let their kids anywhere near computers and things like that. I just think it'd be quite funny to see a school where they're all on trap phones.
just got the likers.
Yeah, they're all back on the track.
They just got the likers.
Texting each other, you've got to get to the letter through the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, man. For me, I think that the trouble with this is it's not the kids' fault, it's how the schools are using the technology that's the problem. You can use technology to build imagination and creativity.
Yeah.
They're using it in the wrong way. By saying, you can't use your phone, don't use your phone in school. They'll just sneak phones in and use them under the table and use them at home.
Yeah.
You need to find creative ways of using this amazing bit of software.
It's more about how kids now are locked to a screen. That's more of the problem. So even if you're right, even if when they've left school, the background, that's fine. Just giving them that 8-hour period.
I know, but they need to use this as a learning tool. Like, use this as an interactive way of doing stuff.
It's still on a screen. Like, it's not good.
It's kind of an easy answer because it's the same with most of these things, but the key is moderation with it. Because like there were studies that came out a while back about kids playing games, like even kids playing things like Minecraft and things like that, and all the little ones in my family are all the same, like they're on Minecraft all the time. But it's not bad because supposedly those kids are actually like their ability to problem solve and have issues come up and how do I fix it is better than we had, because they're constantly within games where the game is always challenging them. So like, how do you get past these things? So they have to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, but I think the moderation comes into it, because at the same time, they're not getting the, like you said, the physical, like being out and about. Like, I'm not being funny, but like, even in terms of, this is extremes of it, but even in terms of stuff like messing around in dirt and stuff like that when you were a kid, builds up your ability to battle bacteria and things like that as you grow older.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always remember that, like, my mum referred to me when I was a little baby as basically a giant scab, because I had eczema and I was covered in it. But she said when I got to the age when I was a toddler and I'd be out playing in the garden, she wouldn't stop me from playing about with anything. So she said I'd just literally be, and sometimes it'd hurt, so I'd like be rubbing my hands in the soil just to scratch it.
Neanderthal kid over
pretty
it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Eating it.
So, so she said, but stuff like that, she was just like, I'm going to let him do it because it might, like, you just coating me in cream all the time. He's only going to do so much. So I think it's like a mix of the two. It's like, you have to allow these kids to go on this stuff because it's the world they live in, it's their future.
Yeah.
But I think what the school is trying to do is, I imagine, especially with the likes of social media, Facebooks and stuff like this, the kids are probably, even with it being allowed, sitting there all day messaging each other, sending each other stuff.
Mm.
So it's more maybe if it's a case of every kid comes in, you can bring your phones, but everything's confiscated during the lesson time.
I think this is the thing, right? If they had Snapchat when we were in school, right, we all would have got indicted for some of the stuff that we were doing in school. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, seriously.
Like,
one lad, a group of my lads, right, put out a, I remember really vividly, is that they, on somebody's phone, like an old Samsung or Sony Ericsson or whatever, did like manginas. If you don't know what a mangina is, it's basically where you tuck your dick and your balls between your legs or whatever. And they took a photo of it, posted it, and like sent it to someone on like Bebo or whatever. And that girl printed off like 300 copies and stuck them all around school. And like everybody, all of the mangina boys, all of like...
as they were known.
Like the girl group did it, got banned. Like imagine Snapchat with that. That'd be
that's
daily.
What I mean. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's a good thing. I also think, like, if it was me and I was having, I had a conversation with my little cousin Ivor the other day. Ivor Berry, shout out you. And he was saying, I was saying, so what, like, what's life been like at the moment? What's going on with you? Like, how's life? He was like, yeah, good. Like, what's happening at school? Yeah, nothing, just same old stuff. He's like, so what do you do with your friends at the moment? Oh, we're on Fortnite all day. It's like, bruv, I want to hear stories like, bruv, me and my mate Dom, when we were little, we used to be out in his trampoline. I put my head through his fence like 5 times. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you want to hear.
That is what it is, isn't
you want to hear things that have happened during your childhood. You don't, like, look, imagine you being 50 years old. And looking back with your mates, I remember that time on Fortnite when that's dead.
Yeah. I remember that headshot you got.
Yeah, like, it's not. Oh, remember that snipe? Yeah. Like cool, but
that just, is just kind of just kind of talking about like if we'd have had.
What was it like at you, Dave, back in medieval times?
Ah, forget it,
Dave. Back in school.
Forget it.
What are you gonna say?
No, I was just saying like it is one of like when I think back, and one of the things I'm very jealous of this kind of. This kind of generation is that they do have camera phones. What I would give to relive some of the memories that we had, like the amount of times we should have been arrested or like just beat the shit out of, and we managed to get away with it, just to capture some of them moments.
I mean, there was a flipping revolution, bro. Remember them teardrop Nokias?
Yeah.
With the happy slap thing, when that went, that was going mad.
Like, that had a big sweat, yeah.
Do you remember?
I don't remember that.
You remember happy slaps?
Yeah, I remember happy slapping.
Yeah, so like the teardrop Nokias.
Remember the square one?
Yeah.
It was like that. It was a screen in the middle with the numbers that went round the edge.
You used to have that little thing attached to it. That
it was like, it kind of looked like that. Like,
I'll show you.
I'll get him a picture.
I used to, like, everybody used to have arts, like, was the Sony Ericsson. So you could, like, infrared tunes to each other.
Yeah, by holding the phones next to each other.
The Walkman phones.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Remember the 90s.
They were decent then.
I've never seen that.
You've never seen that before? The crazy Titch phone. Listen, them phones there, they were lethal. We would be in the park filming people getting slapped, like, all night. That's like, as soon as we could get.
All night.
What are you doing slapping?
I wasn't slapping people.
You're a happy slapper. No. You're a joke. You're a disgrace.
I didn't slap anyone on camera. Until this idiot.
So that's a disgrace, mate.
I've promised, never slapped anyone on camera.
Like there was
on cameras. What other
90s memories have we got? Let's go through a couple now. May as well. Dave, you might have to go 80s, mate.
He was
he was literally doing that so he could say that.
Yeah. do you remember like the Nokia 3310?
Yeah. The unbreakable one.
It was unbreakable, but
the snake one.
The snake one. Do you remember like, you know, if you used to get like a new ringtone, you had to actually put it in manually.
Yeah.
And then you were doing it, if someone ring you, it would lose it.
Yeah.
So like there was my do you see like my boy see like my boy Nathan, the fellow with the dreads, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Like he used to memorise it all. He used to do music and shit.
Makes
like
a documentary, isn't it?
Yeah, makes it.
He's wicked.
And he used to take on his phone and put the songs on. I used to get, because people, like, no one is almost get to the end, and we ring the phone, and you're still wiping, and you'd be kicking off.
What do you mean he used to manipulate it in?
So you had to, it was almost, it was like
each key had a different note.
It would work as keys, note, yeah.
And he'd actually play it in.
This is earlier than your,
what?
I think, earlier
do you
than
remember
your
this?
Phones.
No, but you remember.
I remember calling my brother, but not, I never had
that's
one.
That's insane, what was he thinking?
I'll be honest, I must have been in year 9, so it would have been like 2001?
Yeah.
How was you been?
I was 5. I was
7.
2001. Oh, baited out again, blood, it's mad.
I was 2001, I was 10.
How are you?
7. That's crazy though. Like,
new world?
You'd have to manually input 22.
14? So like
just started it. We just 14. Started it. It's like it was an internet.
No, I don't know. That's like, my first memory was that one that was like, I think it was Nokia, but I don't remember inputting like songs.
Code.
Like,
HTML.
Like, coding in a music song. Nah, you could like throw it on the floor. Like, oh, we used to play cricket.
The Unbreakable one.
The Unbreakable
one. Remember the Builders one they made? The one that actually had
that was a proper brick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It actually had the pads on the side of it.
That's
so
a
that
madness.
It was you could literally throw it as hard as you wanted. It wouldn't nothing happen.
Yeah.
I remember I had a Siemens as my first phone.
A Siemens.
Like, you never get like a quality one. I had a blue Siemens with an orange screen.
I don't remember the Siemens.
They all had orange screens back then, though, didn't
they? And then I got a Sony Ericsson, which was like still. You look at Sony Ericssons, the design of them was so cool. They were proper smart looking phones.
They were wicked.
What's the Sony Ericsson one?
It was the one that had the little.
Was it the one that had the little roller thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine was like a little joystick, so you'd actually move it as opposed to a ball.
And then it went to Motorola's, didn't it? Motorola Razr.
And then after that, it went straight. This is the era of the BBM, mate.
BBM.
How easy it used to be to get to in order to get like a girl's pin rather than number. If you got the pin, then you knew that was.
Do you know what the thing I find so weird about like BlackBerry's that era is that I only realised this like a couple months back. I was talking with a mate of mine that my first year of uni. iPhones were kind of coming in, but BlackBerries is what everyone had.
Mm. So I started BBM when I first started working at it.
What did you have, the BBM curve?
Yeah, it was a curve.
I had the curve and then I had the bold.
But loads of people used to, didn't they? Office environments. It was like a business.
What I forgot about was that when I was at uni and you're all texting your mates to go meet up and do something, I only realised when we were talking about the other day that I was sending group text messages.
The broadcasts.
Like the group chat didn't exist. The idea of group chat not existing is mental. Yeah. I used to just put in everyone's name, but it wasn't a chat between everyone.
It was a blast.
It would just send the same message to everyone. So then people would message back separately and then I'd have to relay what everyone was saying across the...
Do you remember you would ping people? So you'd like send a ping.
Yeah.
Right, so there was this time I was pinging my mate in class and he obviously didn't have it on silent, so I'm pinging him. It's just going ping, ping, ping. And his phone froze, heated up, and then his screen cracked. Like, to the point, so I was pinging him so much that his phone was like, this is mad. And his phone just, like, started heating up. Remember, like, how the Samsungs were doing? They were just exploding. It didn't explode, but it was like, you could see it was cracking the screen.
Yeah.
Madness. Shout out to BBM.
Jesus. Should we answer my story there?
Yes.
Yes, mate.
Right, so my story is this week, or it might have been last week now, at the time of recording, they released their independent report on the missing MH370 plane. Do you remember this plane?
Malaysian Airlines
that flew from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. Yeah. And then halfway...
Disappeared.
Yeah.
Lost.
No black box found, nothing like that.
Never been found. No remains, no remnants. 200 plus passengers on board.
Disappeared.
12 cabin staff. Disappeared forever. Yeah. Nobody knows what it does.
I can't remember them at the moment, but there were some incredible conspiracy theories.
So the report basically, it detailed that there were some problems in the aviation authorities within Malaysia, and one of the chiefs has had to resign from his duty there because they found that he had basically not switched off from his job but not put the right processes in place and stuff like that. But still, they had no reason this plane would go missing. Mm. Regular satellites tracked it over the South China Sea, then military satellites tracked it for another half an hour, and then bang, disappeared from the world. Black box gone, radars shut off, nothing ever found, no remains, so no human bodies, no people. So the report's come out, the guy's resigned, but the independent resort, still no answer.
So what happened?
So let's say we're turning this into
they believe,
a conspiracy.
They think it's human error, effectively gotten down to human.
Don't know, they think it was like the Russians. It wasn't even the Russian that first came out, that they shot it down.
There were so many conspiracy theories.
But when you say human error, it's like human error on the reporting of where that plane was. Where's that plane?
No, the human error on the pilots. So one of the conspiracy theories, and one theory that's been quite heavily linked, is that the pilot just downed it into the South China Sea.
If that was the case, then it would be a black box.
Yeah, but not if you can. They've never found the remains. You can only a black box if you find the remains of the plane. The black box is contained within the plane.
They searched. They pretty much scoured the entire area of the sea.
Never been found, man.
It's never been found.
No body's ever been found either. No, 200 plus passengers.
But this is the thing. It's like I get. It might have crashed or whatever, but it's like, I'm not sorry, just saying the conspiracy theories are right, but there's no sign of it.
It has to be somewhere, doesn't it?
It's like, we can't say, oh, it must have just crashed. It's like, yeah, but you have to have found something to have shown.
So, my theory on this.
I think me and you are going to be pretty similar on this.
Aliens.
100%.
It has 100%
to be. 100% aliens. I knew he was going to...
There's a plane with 12 stars.
What do you mean? What's happened to you?
It was a Boeing 777.
There's no logical answer.
It's been blown up by the Russians.
And then where's the debris?
Where's the remnants then? Why did they also have a net underneath to catch every person?
They've basically vaporised it. They've fucking...
like an alien!
They've gone in. Boom, 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 boom. Explode like
what,
so
laser
much missiles.
What would be their reason for exploding a passenger airline with 200 commuters?
Well, there's loads of things that is unexplainable that a Russian, like,
government do. Yeah. You know.
I remember.
It cannot be aliens.
Why? I remember at the time.
Because why? What? Why would they want it?
Maybe they're testing us.
Yeah. Maybe they just saw one and went, "What is that?" Bang in, and like, it could have been anything.
I remember the time there was a massive there was a conspiracy theory going around about it. Right? I remember this when it first happened, and the theory was that for terrorists to hijack planes in this day and age, it's too difficult now to get onto the plane with something to then go and take it over.
Yeah.
So what they said was is that the next move that was being done, which is what they reckon happened with this plane. This is this theory, was that. They would basically, pilots themselves would be basically paid off or whatever to fly a plane to an unknown location, turn off all radar and land it somewhere where that plane would then, all the passengers would just be like got rid of however they needed to, and then they had a plane there available that they could then refuel and go use whatever they wanted to use for it at a later date. And then someone else was saying to me, it was like, right, if you're going to pay off the pilot to do this, or you're gonna, the pilot from the beginning is gonna be part of your organisation. The pilot just does the job for you. Surely he's gonna be the same one that in the end crashes it. So why doesn't he just crash it for you?
Yeah.
So it didn't really make sense. But I remember there was a massive big uproar about it, with people saying, "Oh, it has to be that." And then they were saying they were literally going countdown within the next 3 months there'll be a terrorist attack that would involve a plane. And then, like, 3 months later, there's just people going, "No, wait for it, wait for it. Never know, still, give it another three."
That's a fit. Like, how are you going to pay off a pilot anyway? Some of them earn, like, 250 grand a year, 300 grand a year.
Right. If you pay someone off to essentially... That's
Dave Jackson type of pee. You know what I'm saying? That's corporate pee.
Yeah, because I also want to, like... cheers, Mr. Murdoch. but it's also as well, like, that's basically the end of that pilot's life anyway. Like, as in, like, unless it's to set his family up, but then there's going to be a trail, isn't there? So
yeah, it's just also so weird that this theory is basically people saying that what's happened to the other passengers is lost, the TV series.
So that's more like plausible than aliens.
Lost.
Is it? But then wouldn't it?
The most plausible explanation is that it crashed.
It's not so much aliens.
Just scattered and vaporised.
It's not so much for me that it's aliens, but that something that we're not fully aware of in the world could have happened to
down.
Yeah. Such as, am I right in saying, it passed...
Don't say the Bermuda Triangle.
Does it not?
No, mate, because it's Malaysia, South China Sea. Bermuda's not South China.
Oh, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah. But didn't it pass an area of water, I remember someone saying at the time, that had similar... its magnetic field or something was a lot higher than other bodies of water.
I'm not sure. Well, if that is the case, then just stop flying over that bit. You know what I mean? Just stop go around.
They said that about the Bermuda Triangle. So let's just stop flying over it. Stop sailing a boat from it. What's wrong with you?
Why do so many crashes occur in the Bermuda Triangle?
It's not even crashes, it's disappearances.
Things just
like Flight 19. You know about Flight 19? Yeah, I don't know a lot about it, but there's planes that have gone missing the same way the Malaysia plane went missing in the Bermuda Triangle.
What the kind of the written reason for most of the things in the Bermuda Triangle is that it's a huge body of water that has such a warped magnetic field in it that basically whenever planes or boats or whatever would go into it, they would get into the middle and their navigation systems would just completely go out of line and people would end up dying because of not being able to find their way out one way or the other.
But then this is the problem for me, though.
But then,
if you're not being able to find your way out one way or another, you just go straight for as long as you
find
it.
But you can't go straight. It's hard.
But the other thing is, that if you know anyone that's done training in sailing or whatever, you know that you learn pretty much everything you need to learn without using any like electronic or compass. You learn it by what's above you.
Yeah.
So people who are sailing or doing pilots or whatever should just be, they shouldn't be getting that warped because they should be able to use the stars to
it's
show
crazy.
You.
That's crazy. The Bermuda Triangle, I have to do some reading about
it. Really do.
I tell you what, we should use the Bermuda Triangle as one of the things we do one
it's
week.
It's proper interesting.
Because it is a wicked one.
But well, what it is another one for you, but a wacky conspiracy for you on this Malaysian thing. Right? So imagine, they've crashed, but they've been welcomed by Aquaman himself into Atlantis, and they've gone just straight down into the sea.
You're chatting absolutely bare nonsense. Aquaman's the worst. It could be a Lost situation, though, and I think, I'll throw this out there, the first three seasons of Lost, best television ever made.
No. Ever made? Never. Mental.
Can I be honest?
The Wire, hands down.
We've like, yeah, the one with
ever
the
made?
The Wire.
Have you watched The Wire?
No.
Right, come back when you've watched it then. But for me, Lost, I watched the first season of Lost, heard it had been renewed for a ninth for 9 seasons and thought, right, so I can turn this on in 7 years.
The first season
and
was
still be
so
it.
Good. Though.
It was good, but I was like, I can turn this on in 7 years and still be on the island. And
the
like,
first
again,
season.
I wasn't hooked
the,
on series
the
by then.
The tension is outrageous every episode. With the others and
so,
oh
so
my god.
Is that your favourite show? The Wire.
The Wire. The Wire. Yeah, The Wire. Yeah.
The Wire.
The Wire, Westworld.
Never seen it. My favourite show overall is Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad's a very
good show. I thought it's so
slow
at the start. Like from season 4, it's so good.
So
it's so slow.
I got halfway through season 2.
How many years?
I watched the last episode I've watched of Breaking Bad was the night before I started my job here, which is
oh, wow.
6 years ago.
Yeah.
And just I don't know what it was, it's because it was slow up to that point. I started working here. And I didn't have the, oh, I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
So I just stopped. And then I never watched it since.
You can get back and watch it.
Like, it's very good.
Towards the end, it's amazing.
Yeah,
the
from Wire season 4 is very good.
The Wire is hands down the best thing I've ever watched. It's yeah, just,
what
it's
is
so,
it about?
It's about Baltimore in Maryland. Yeah. But, yeah, but the reason
you'd actually no, really where, like it. You'd
yeah,
really
but,
like it.
But it's about Baltimore. It's about the city of Baltimore.
Every said I like Peaky Blinders. I thought it was rabbit.
That's wicked,
Peaky Blinders.
The thing with The Wire, the reason I say it's about Baltimore is because each season actually has a different focus. So the first season is about the drug corners, the second season is about the docks, and then there's a I can't remember the order.
So, so it's still like
the
still like the same characters.
One about the kids.
Still the same characters, but like the main focus of each season is a different part. Of
it's a different part of the city, yeah. And everything
but
intertwines.
Each person's person's narrative interlaces.
But
with
it's
everyone.
Just it's so
good.
It's,
really
it's
good.
Such a good series. It's really good.
And like the character development is like the best I've ever seen on TV. The one I can like. Sort of say it's similar to is if you've ever watched Game of Thrones, right? The amount of characters that you're interested in and invested in, that's the only thing I can sort of compare it to. Obviously, two very different, genres. Two very
you'd love that.
I watched one episode of Game of Thrones and a bloke slept with his sister at the end, and I thought, I don't really need to see the rest.
It's really good.
Yeah, but that's narrow minded.
I will go back to it. Is it narrow minded?
Really good. It's really good.
Bro, amount of stuff that happened in The Wire.
I mean, yeah.
Hey, oh my god!
Any spoilers then? Come on.
Whoa!
Come on.
That's coming from you.
I know. Don't give that many spoilers. What are you talking about?
You're the worst for it.
No, no.
You told us the whole Icarus plot.
Oh, do you know what? When I went and watched that, and I got all the way to the end, and I was like, "There's nothing." The only
you told us the whole thing.
Literally, you know, the only bit he didn't tell us is you know when a documentary ends, like on screen, it just sort of does. Oh, this is where he is now. That was the one bit he didn't say. A piece of text that shows up at the end.
Yeah, exactly. But that's how good a description I am. I can give. I can really describe something well.
Yeah.
So you spoilt the whole thing, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Have you watched Citizen 4 yet? Have you watched Citizen 4?
No,
I've watched Icarus. It was good.
I didn't tell you anything about Citizen 4.
The thing about Icarus is it's like, obviously, the moment...
Citizen 4 is the inside story of Edward Snowden. From the time he sent the first email to The Guardian saying, I'm...
Netflix?
No, it won't be on Netflix or Sky. It'll be like...
Now TV, no, not that.
Maybe Amazon, maybe.
The thing is with Icarus, it was like, say you know you said the bit about the Adam's Ark and they gave it to the guy from the KGB. You can tell by the way they're packaging the documentary that when it gets the bit gave it to the guy from the KGB 20 minutes later it comes back and it's open. The documentary is like as if when you're watching like bang you had it open and I'm sitting there going it's going to come back in a minute because you told us the whole thing. So it goes like, and he opened it.
But if you haven't watched Citizen 4, unreal. The first ever email he sent to The Guardian and tracked his whole story, how they snuck him into Beijing.
Season 3 of Last Chance U is quality, by the way.
Last Chance U is great television.
Such a good show.
If you haven't watched Last Chance U, seriously.
It's definitely meant in Season 2, not been in Season 1.
Because what it's a different school, isn't it?
Different school. It's really good.
But they're useless.
But see, I love season 2 as well.
Season 2 is wicked as well. But I thought season 1 was
so
like wicked. And then, but season 3 is just
see
as
the
good.
Trailer for the Amazon Man City doc.
It's wicked.
Yeah,
it's really
right,
good.
Should we wrap this up anyway? Because we're just rambling about documentaries.
People love that though. Stuff to go and watch, isn't it?
It is. Go and watch all that stuff though, anyway. we've got other things to do, so we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah. We need to shoot something for the quiz, don't we?
Yes,
something like that?
We do indeed. So if you're listening on the podcast, don't forget to review and rate us 5 stars. Leave a comment and a like if you're watching on YouTube and vice versa. Go and subscribe and go and download the app. Thanks to Dave, Horner and Savile. And I've said Dave.
Who was
Horner,
who then?
But
who was who then?
I don't know.
Dave Horner and Savile.
Yeah, I know. Dave Horner and Savile. But yeah, thanks for listening in your ears and watching on your eyes. Goodbye.